Even the word sounds like that. It's called onomatopoeia, onomatopoetic. The word sounds like what it means, like ruff, ruff. A dog, and they describe a dog barking, it sounds like. So prabhut. Prabhuta means plump. Shatta kumbha. What's shatta? Shatta. Shatta kumbha, it says here, like golden. Shatta kumbha. Anyway, kumbha means pot or vases. And kumbhi means like the temples of a young elephant. You see a baby elephant. If you ever seen a baby elephant, you see a little baby in Mayapur and he kind of grew up. Gulab. Gulab was a baby and the mother died. Now Gulab's pretty big. But the temples, I mean, we say this is the temples of the human bodies here. It's called the temples. This part is called the temples right here. On either side of the eye. So this is the forehead. This is the temple. This is the cheek, the cheekbone, chin, all that. But in the elephant, they're on the top. Because, you know, when you look at the elephant, it goes like that. So the temple's on the top, and there are two bumps like this. And a baby elephant, they protrude. So they're comparing, what you'll see is the shusti. Shusti means the breasts of Radharani. No, shtani. Shustani. Shustani means whose breasts are so nice. So that's at the end. So it's comparing Radharani's breasts to a water pot. In other words, a very large. To a water pot, very plump, prabhuta, just like golden vases or the temples of a young elephant. Prashasta. Prashasta means praiseworthy. Manda hasya. What does hasya mean? Happy or smile or humor or joking. Hasya, like hasya ras. So manda, we have a verse in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. Manda sumanda matayo. And it's describing the characteristics of the people in the age of Kali. Manda sumanda, they're slow, very lazy. So manda means slow, means mild. She has a manda hasya. She has the most praiseworthy manda hasya. Mild and gentle, sweet smile. Churna. Churna means fluffy pollen. Soft, fluffy flower pollen. And Purna, what does Purna mean? Full or complete. So, and Sokya Sagare. What does Sagar mean? Kir Sagar. Bhava Sagar. Samudra, Sagar. You go to Puri, there's a Sagar Hotel on the beach. Hotel Sagar on the beach of Puri. What does Sagar mean? What do we say when we say Bhava Sagar? Bhava means material existence, right? Bhava. Bhava Sagar. So the what of material existence? What is material existence compared to? What? That's there, but there's another element also. It's compared ocean, the ocean of material existence, right? Trying to cross the ocean is very difficult unless you get in a big boat. The boat of the spiritual life, engaged in Krishna's service, guru is the captain, winds are the winds for the sails of the boat. The boat is actually the body engaged in Krishna's service. A Bhava Sagar means the ocean of material existence. You must have read this a few times in Prabhupada's books, right? Crossed over the ocean of material existence, the ocean of birth and death. A Sagar means ocean. See it a lot. Get used to it. Bhava Sagar, Kir Sagar. What is Kir Sagar? What is Kir? So the ocean of Kir, right? In the universe. What is our ocean? It's called, Lavanya Sagar or Namak Sagar. It's a saltwater ocean, right? The ocean here is made of salt. Is it right? So that's Sagar. When you go to the Indian Ocean, it's just called Sagar or Samudra. Samudra or Sagar, these mean ocean. Very common words. What does Sokya mean? Sukha and Dukkha. What does Sukh mean? So what does Sok mean? Happiness. Sokya Sagare, the ocean of happiness. You're an ocean of pleasant joy. So oh Radharani, your breasts are plump like the purest golden water jug or the cranial globes of a young elephant. Cranial means the head, you know. The cranial globes are those bumps on the head of a baby elephant, which they have. And you are like the swelling ocean of happiness full of not water, but of soft flower pollen. And your most praiseworthy sweet smile, Radharani, is like an ocean of happiness. An ocean, instead of being full of water, is full of fluffy flower pollen. Churna, very interesting. Churna Purna. Churna Purna Sokya Sagare. Churna Purna means you're complete, you're full. Purna Churna. Churna Purna Sokya Sagare. You're a Sokya Sagare. You're a happiness ocean. You're a happy ocean. You're an ocean of joy. And you're full of, you're made of flower pollen, which means you're fragrant. Your happiness is fragrant and attractive and light and fluffy. Prashasta Manda Husky. And you have a very gentle smile. Because when we begin to meditate on the form of Srimati Radharani, we begin to meditate on her soft, gentle, sweet smile. I want you to try to fix this in his mind. The soft, gentle, sweet smile of Srimati Radharani. Kadakrishyatimam kripakadaksha bhajanam. So let me see the translation here. Srimati Radharani is decorated with a diamond necklace of feminine charm, like amorous gestures, ecstatic moods, and gentle manners. Radha's breasts are plump, like the purest golden water pot, or the cranial globes of a young elephant. Radha is like a swelling ocean of happiness, full of the soft pollen of her most glorious, mild, sweet smile. Oh, when will she shower upon me her sidelong glance of overflowing grace? Sri Sri Radha Kripa Kataksha Ki Jai. So there's still a few more verses to go. Maybe we can, 7 more verses. Hopefully we'll finish these in the next few days. Today was a special day. Vrindavan is full of special days. Probably just say that, of course, it says that in the Brahma Samhita. There's one shloka in Brahma Samhita. Lord Brahma is saying the spiritual world, the words are singing. People don't speak, they sing. And they don't walk, they dance. He said, in the spiritual world, every word is a song, every step is a dance, and every day is a festival. This is the spiritual world. So we're finding that we're trying to go through Bhagavatam, and it's just one festival after another after another. But still, I think, Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, chapter 30, text 29. Sanyaho amiyalyo govindangri yabjat zainabha yan brahmesho rama devi Tadur mud yag nutaye. Please repeat. Danya. Sanctified. Aho. Ah. Ami. These. Alya. O gopis. Govinda. Govinda. Angri. What does angri mean? Pankajangri, hungry, hungry. Hungry abja means lotus-like feet, right? Lotus-like feet. Rainava. What does Rainu mean? Braja, we say Brajaraj or Rainu or Sitaduli means dust. Rainava means the particles of dust. Yan. There's only one person here. Yan. Which? Brahma. Lord Brahma. Isho. Lord Shiva. Rama Devi. Rama Devi. Wife of Lord Vishnu. Dadu. Take. Murdni. Their head. Aga. Where have we heard that word before? Aga. Aga. In Krishna book? Aga. Agasura. You heard that one? It's a demon, right? And it means sinful reaction. Aga. A-G-H-A, Agha, sinful reactions. Nutaye, for the spelling. Translation. Oh girl, the dust of Govinda's lotus feet is so sacred that even Brahma, Shiva, and the goddess Rama take that dust upon their heads to dispel sinful reactions. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti, who quotes from Shastra, each day late in the afternoon, between 3:30 and 6, when Krishna's coming back from the cows, and we heard some of this morning. No, we heard him going out. No, we heard that they come to get purified. As Krishna returned from the cow pastures with his cowherd boyfriends, great demigods like Brahma and Shiva would come down from heaven and take the dust of his feet. Great personalities like the goddess of fortune, Rama, wife of Vishnu, Shiva, and Brahma, are not at all sinful, but in the ecstasy of pure Krishna consciousness, they feel themselves fallen and impure. Thus, desiring to purify themselves, they blissfully take the dust of the Lord's lotus feet on their heads. So, if you can make a reminder there, we'll continue with the feet, but we want to read some excerpts here about this particular pastime of the demigods taking dust. Please make note of that to remind us. We finished this verse now. We're going to go back and talk about the feet. We want to be reminded to come back to this verse and talk about this point. I think we'll remember. We have made a note here. We want to read something about this particular pastime because Vishwanath and Krishnas Kaviraj explain this in Govinda Lila Amrita. But going back to describe the meaning of the different symbols on Krishna's feet, quite wonderful explanation the acharyas are giving us. And we left off before with the kamala, the lotus. Hare Krishna. Supposed to be close. Accepting the bow or dhanu on the bottom of Krishna's feet. And the Vishwanath is telling us, and Sarata Darshani and other quotations here from the Bodhidasra made some description of. He collected Shastric descriptions of the marks on Radha and Krishna's feet. So we're attempting to learn some of those things and remember the beautiful feet of Radha and Krishna. So the bow indicates that those who take shelter of Krishna's feet will be perpetually free from all worries and difficulties. It shows that those that are stupefied in the material world remain motionless like a target. That's interesting. And do not come to their feet, whereas those who come to the ultimate goal of Krishna's feet remain there and never go back to the material world. That's a very interesting explanation. Whether it's a bow is there, and when you have a bow, you have an arrow. When it's bows and arrows, you shoot at targets, right? Sometimes you shoot at a target, fixed. The target is you stand in the distance, and it's a piece of straw with some paper on it with a circle, and you shoot the target. In English, it's called target. It's just archery. It's called archery. There's an art of trying to hit the bullseye or make the arrow go there. So it's a very kind of esoteric connection. At least we can think that a bow, just like a bow is something a Kshatriya carries and defeats enemies with that, it's a weapon, a powerful weapon. So the first part we can relate to, that if we take shelter of those feet, we'll be freed from all worries and difficulties. That bow is on Krishna's left foot. He has an unstrung bow on his left foot under his third toe. Big toe, second toe, under his third toe. There's two circles, concentric circles. And then there's an unstrung bow, and then there's two footprints of a cap. So like this. So we can remember that bow, if we remember Krishna's feet, with his bow he will defeat, remove, and shoot away all our worries and difficulties. That part we can remember. And then it says, when the mind of the devotee meets the target of their feet, then prema condenses as a result and overflows as tears showering from their eyes. That's nice. The mind, in other words, the mind meets the target. So the bow, in other words, the bow is symbolic. It represents arrows and targets, and then the targets represent the mind of the devotee, like that. Next thing is Ankush. Ankush means the goad. Radha and Krishna both have this goad. The goad is like a little rod with a hook on it. It actually looks more like, instead of like a trishun, a trident, it's straight like this and it has a little hook. It looks like something like this. This is the goat, and they use that for controlling elephants. Behind the ear, they pull. So this indicates, this is a little more relatable, we can relate easily, that by meditating on Radharani's feet and Krishna's feet, the elephant of the devotee's mind come under control and stay in the right path. Our minds are like mad elephants, like just running everywhere, crazy ideas, just trampling, you know, sometimes get into offensive mentality. We say offensive mentality. And when that mentality is there, one's mind can ruin the bhakti lata by offending Vaishnavas. So it's like a mad elephant gets loose in your garden and just crush all your tomato plants and, you know, your sabjis and everything. So that mind can be, that elephant, the mad elephant can be controlled by an expert trainer who has his goad. So Radha and Krishna's feet have this goad to control the elephants of our mind. If we can always remember those feet, the mad elephant of our minds will come under control and stay in the right path. It's like an elephant that's controlled will stay in the right path. If he's not controlled, he'll jump off the path and go create havoc, jump in someone's yard. So we want the elephant of our mind to stay in the right path of pure bhakti, pure surrender to Radha and Krishna. It also shows that those who stay in the path toward their feet become superior among men. Just as one riding on the top of an elephant travels far above the rest. So a goat, of course, a goat, an ankush, is always connected with an elephant. And usually elephants, people that ride on elephants are usually royalty. Rajasthani princes, they even, and kings, they always rode on elephants. So elephants are 3, 4, 5 meters high. A big elephant, a bull elephant, can be 5 meters high, very, very high in old days. So if you're up there, you're way above everybody. You're head and shoulders above the rest of the people on the street. Everyone's on the street. You're way up there. So in other words, if you're meditating around on Krishna's feet, then you're superior among men. In other words, you're going to the transcendental world. You're not staying in this world of mortal beings. You're existing in a spiritual world of devotional service, and you'll travel far above. You'll be above everyone else. You won't be in this world. And this mark, when it's on Radha's foot, it indicates that even though Krishna's elephant-like mind attempts to behave like many different kinds of heroes, her feet are still powerful enough to easily conquer him and bring him under her control. Now this is worth remembering. This has particular, you know, significance for us in that line of Radha-dasyam. Whenever we can hear how Radharani subjugates Krishna by her charms and her wit and her artistic gestures and amorous abilities, and we're quite happy because we're supporting her and serving her. So this is, his mind is elephant. His mind is like an elephant, but what the elephant is controlled by the goad. Whose mind? Krishna's mind is the elephant, but Radharani's feet are the goad. And when she puts those feet on his mind, the mind is generally thought of up here in the head somewhere as a mind. So those feet come direct to Krishna's head, and then he becomes completely controlled. He has to submit the elephant of his mind to the goad to the bottom of Radharani's feet. For Manvanga, for Krishna to win the favor and attention of Srimati Radharani, he has to surrender his mind, intelligence, the whole linga sharira, the whole subtle body, his head, which is the king of the body, is the head. The Shira, the Raja, the Shira. He has to surrender that elephant mind, that powerful, dominant, stubborn, independent mind of God. He has to surrender to the lowliest part. The topmost part of Krishna has to become surrendered to the lowliest part of Radharani, the bottom of the feet. And that gold there, when we remember the gold, he said, yes, Radharani, you're controlling everyone. Your love is controlling even the Supreme Controller. Parama Ishvara, Ishvara Parama Krishna. He's the Supreme Controller, but you're the Paramishvari. You're Ishvari. You're the Supreme Goddess of all controllers, Queen of all controllers. So this is a very nice. Krishna's elephant like mind attempts to behave like many different kinds of heroes. Dhirodhata, Dhiralalita, Dhirodhata, different types of characteristics, heroic presentations that Krishna gives in his loving exchanges with Radharani. But Radharani's feet are still powerful enough to easily conquer him and bring him under control. Radharani ki jai. So I don't think you have to keep up. So there's a triangle. This is on the bottom of Krishna's foot. There's a triangle. Which foot is Krishna's triangle on? Left foot. Right. That's the cow. It's on the left foot. The meaning of this mark is that devotees who resort to their feet, Radha and Krishna's feet, will be saved from the snares of the threefold modes of Maya. There's a triangle called Trikona. Kona means corner, side. So a triangle has three sides. So it's, you know, Rajagun, Tamagun, Sattvagun. It's the modes of nature. Trigunamayi. You put this. Trigunamayi means the three modes of nature. So that's what it says. It means a threefold Maya. The three aspects of Maya. Maya presents various miseries and glaciers and difficulties through the modes of nature. So that triangle, when you see that triangle, it represents three. A triangle is three sides, right? The three sides represent three. Three of what? The threefold miseries, and which are inflicted. And you can also look at it this way. Sometimes the threefold miseries are called Adi Atmika, Adi Dhaivaka, Adi Bodhika, which are simply presentations of the modes of nature. And different, you know, the mind is, anyway. So the Adi Atmika means misery is caused by myself, my own body and mind. Atma means body, mind, soul. My own distresses, my own anxieties, my own fears, my own hang-ups, my own coverings, and all kinds of anxieties. So that's one misery that nature imposes upon us due to our impurity. Another one is Adi Bhautika. Bhautika means Bhuta, or other living entities. Mosquitoes, dogs, monkeys, snakes, all these different living entities, they harass us and infect us with amoebas and diarrhea and so many problems. So that's another threefold misery of Maya due to our bad karma. And then the other one is Adi Daivaka. It means the devas, the nature, the demigods are controlling all the aspects of nature. It's too cold, it's too hot, it's too much rain, too much snow, storms, drought, all these things are difficulties. Natural disasters, floods, hurricanes, snowfalls, earthquakes, etc., etc. The beautiful material world we're stuck in. So these are represented that if you meditate on Krishna's feet, then these things are, you're beyond these things. These things no longer affect you. You're transcendental to the modes of nature. Krishna says in Gita, Daviyesha Gunamayi, Mamaviye Papadyante. You surrender unto me, Mayame Tam Tarantite. Mayame Tam Tarantite means that I, Taranta, means I deliver you from all this problem. So you surrender to Krishna, come under the shelter of Daivi Prakriti, under Srimati Radharani, his spiritual potency, which is represented, or we gain access to the mercy of Radharani by surrendering our life in service, by bhakti, by love, by devotion. And then Krishna bestows his mercy upon us and withdraws all these miseries from us. No longer suffer because we become free from our karma by the performance of pure bhakti. So this triangle means that. And their feet are the first and last refuge for the inhabitants of the three worlds. That their feet are the safest sanctuary for demigods, human beings, and animals. That their feet are the sole desire object of their liberated souls. And those that are trying to get liberated, and even the sense gratifiers. In other words, this idea of a triangle represents three different things. You know, and these are some of the acharyas explaining the different kinds of people, the liberated souls, or those that are trying to get liberated, and then the third category is even the sense gratifiers. If they take shelter at Krishna's feet, then they will get freed from all these miseries, and that triangle represents that. There's a verse in Bhagavatam, the second canto, says, the kama sarva kama va moksha kama rudarudi hivena bhakti yogena yajita purusham param. Says, akama sarva kama moksha kama, whether you're free from desire, akama, or sarva kama, full of material desire, kama means lust or desire, and moksha kama, you want liberation, hivena bhakti yogena. Hivena bhakti. If you take shelter of Krishna, Radha and Krishna, and serve them with bhakti, hivena bhakti yogena. Bhakti yoga means shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, parasevanam, hearing, chanting, remembering, lila smaranam, remembering Krishna's pastimes. This is all bhakti. Hivena bhakti. Hivena is a quality, it's a characteristic, it's a type of bhakti. It's not ordinary bhakti, it's not mitra bhakti, karma mixture, or jnana mixture.
It means pure ahoitiki apratiyata. Ahoitiki apratiyata means without motivation, without interruption. Tivrena means like a beam of light. Tivrena means light beam. It means very concentrated, like laser. You know, we have this laser beam. So tivrena means like a beam of sunlight, very powerful, very concentrated. And tivrena bhakti yogena. So this is prasad. Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter, canto 10, chapter 30, text 30. Sasya amunina kshobham pravanti chai padaniyat yaika parita gopinam nahobham se chaturaram na lakshan se padanyatra sasya minam shinakure kidyat sujat kidyat sujat angritalam Uninye Sayasinthaya. These footprints of that special gopi greatly disturb us. Of all gopis, she was taken alone to a secluded place where she is enjoying the lips of Krishna. Look, we can't see her footprints over here. It's obvious that the grass and sprouts were hurting the tender soles of her feet, and so the lover lifted up his beloved. So, this, of course, the story is, as we know, the gopis are searching for Krishna. Krishna wanted to curb the pride of the gopis. They became very proud of having the association of the Supreme Lord. And it was such an arrangement that each gopi thought she was alone with Krishna, although there were thousands of gopis. But Krishna, by his yoga maya potency, expanded himself to be walking beside each gopi along the banks of Yamuna. So each individual gopi had the same idea, that we're the best, we're the most fortunate, Krishna is only with us. And that's actually the fact in transcendental philosophy. There are millions and millions of devotees, and there's one Krishna. But Krishna is so wonderful that he personally appears and manifests himself to each and every devotee in whatever way they want to have him. They want to have him as a beloved son, or husband, or friend, or lover, or master. Then he will reciprocate them in such an individual and tender and caring and loving way that the devotee feels completely satisfied. He never has the idea for a second that I'm sharing Krishna with someone else. And now Krishna's leaving me to be with someone else. He always feels completely 100% that I'm alone with Krishna every moment, and I'm serving him, and I feel he's also reciprocating with me by giving me his love. Whether it's in Vatsalya Bhav or Madhurya Bhav, or Sakya Bhav, or Dasya Bhav. So the gopis thought like that, and Krishna thought, oh, this isn't good. One devotee should not be more proud of their service. One devotee should not be more proud amongst the other devotees. Amani na mani deno kirtani sadhari. Amani money. It should be free from money. Amani, which is pride. Amani means, you know, we should not want respect. We should respect others, but not expect any respect from them. So the gopis are searching, and then they found these footprints after some time. And now they're describing them, and there's two parties are searching together, Chandravali's party and Radharani's party. Of course, Radharani is the Krishna. So Chandravali's party, they're feeling a little upset when they saw these other footprints. First they only saw Krishna's footprints, and then they saw a second pair, very narrow, small pair, and they could understand this is one of the gopis. Especially when the Radharani's friends, Lalita, and they pointed out, look, see those special marks? You know whose feet those are? Those are Radharani's feet. And Chandravali and their party, they were very upset. Oh, you're right. And so then they're saying these verses, text 29 to 34. Iman yadika magnani padani vahato vadum kopya pashita krishnasya bhara kansasya kamina atra varopita kanta pushpa hetur mahatmana. Please observe, my dear gopis, in this place lusty Krishna's footprints are pressed more deeply into the ground. Carrying the weight of his beloved must have been difficult for him. And over here that intelligent boy must have put her down to gather some flowers. This is interesting, because we were asking about the Shikshastika. This is Vidyavadu Jivanam. Okay? Namnamakari Bahuda Nityasara Vashati Sitsapita Niyamatasmana Namakala. There's no first one. Cheta Dharmana Marjanam Shreya Kaira Vichandra Kavichandra Vidyavadu Jivanam. So here in this verse, we have the word Iman Yadika Magnani Padani Vahato Vadum Vadu. Vadu, translation of Vadu, is consort. Vadum is consort or wife. The word Vadum indicates that even though Sri Krishna was not officially married to Radharani, he had in fact made her his bride in the Vrindavan forest. His consort. So we say Vidya Vadu Jivanam. This Sankirtan movement, this Krishna consciousness philosophy is the Jivanam of all knowledge. It's the life and the wife. Vadu means the consort or the wife. It is, in other words, it is a living energy. In other words, knowledge is alive. This knowledge is Vidya Vadu Jivanam. This knowledge of Krishna consciousness gives life, but moreover it's full of ecstasy. The wife of the Vadu supplies ecstasy. She's a shock, she's a principle of pleasure. The Radharani is the supreme consort, and she is known as Ladini Shakti. She's the embodiment of pleasure. She gives Krishna complete satisfaction. So this is the meaning. Vadu means wife or source of pleasure. Of course, the husband gives pleasure to the wife. Krishna certainly fills Radharani with great happiness and pleasure. But in this verse, Vidya Vadu Jivanam. So this knowledge of Krishna consciousness, Vidya Vadu Jivanam, this Sankirtan movement, by taking part in it, you'll become illuminated with full knowledge, Vidya Vadu Jivanam. You will become alive. Not only you will live, it gives life, this knowledge gives life, but it gives variety of, not only life, but ecstatic life. Many people are living, but they're not ecstatic. Bears are living, trees are living. Where is the ecstasy in a bear's life? They sleep 6 months a year, and they go in a hole and they sleep. You know, bear? Bear, I don't know, German, but bear. They go in a hole and they sleep, and then they come out and do little tricks at the gas station during the summer, and then they go back in the hole. You know, the bears, what do they call them? Jumbovan, Riksha Raja. So that's not very ecstatic life. So it's Vidya Vadu Jivanam. So this knowledge of Krishna consciousness is Vadu and Jivanam. It is compared to like that. It is the life of transcendental knowledge. It is the wife. In other words, the transcendental knowledge of Brahman is not ecstatic. It is something called Brahmananda. A Brahmananda is not very much pleasure. It's compared to a drop of water when we compare the Premananda. The Premananda, the happiness of loving service to Krishna, is compared to an ocean of happiness. Whereas Brahmananda, the happiness of Brahman realization, is like a drop of water. So this is in the sloka, in the Shikshastra, Vidyavadu Jivanam. They simply translate it as the life of all transcendental knowledge. That's how they translate it. Glory to Sri Krishna Sankirtan movement, which extinguishes the fire of conditional life, repeated birth and death. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. But it is the life that makes you live, but not live ordinarily, but it gives you ecstasy also. Krishna consciousness. It is the Vadu principle. It links you up with the supreme source of ecstasy. This knowledge is Krishna consciousness. By chanting Hare Krishna, who do you get linked up with? It's yoga, it's bhakti yoga. You get linked up with Srimati Radharani. Hara means Radharani. Oh Hara, oh Mother. Oh Srimati Radharani, please engage me in the service of Krishna. And when you do the service of Krishna under her blessing, by her arrangement, then you feel ecstatic. She blesses you with the Ladini Shakti. What is bhakti? What is bhakti shakti? Bhakti is a combination of sambit and ladini. Balaram enters your heart and illuminates your heart with knowledge through the mercy of the guru, because he represents Balaram. And Radharani enters your heart and illuminates your heart with ecstasy, or ladini. Ladini means ecstasy. So bhakti means you're full of knowledge and you're full of ecstasy. You're full of the mercy of Balaram and you're full of the mercy of Radharani, which comes through your guru there. So this is Vidya Bhadu Jivanam. So the Vadu means the consort, or the female, the wife, the Shakti principle. The man is Shaktiman, possessor of Shakti, and the woman is Shakti, she has energy. So Radharani is the energy, gives this. So when we say Vidya Vadu Jivanam, Krishna consciousness, the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, the chanting of Krishna's name, Radha and Krishna's name, they make you come alive. You will live, Jivanam. This Vidya gives life. But moreover, not just living with a purpose. The purpose is you'll go back to Godhead, but not just any part of the spiritual world. not Brahman. You'll go not even to Vaikuntha, but you'll go to Braja Gokul. So you'll live in the, you'll get Vidya Vadu Jivanam. Jivanam means life. This knowledge gives you life, and it gives you Vadu. It enables you to contact the Shakti, the consort, the energy, the Ladini Shakti, the consort of Krishna, Srimati Radharani, and you can enjoy wonderful, ecstatic, blissful life in the service of lotus feet of Radharani Krishna. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the gopis use the word kamina here to indicate the following thought. They're thinking, Vishwanath is saying, we actually love Sri Krishna, but still he rejected us. Therefore, his private dealings with this Radharani prove that this young prince of Braja has carried her away because of love. If he were interested in love, he would have accepted us instead of that cowherd girl Radharani. So obviously this is not, when Vishwanath says that the gopis use the word kamina here to indicate the following thoughts. In other words, in this verse, this word is there. Bara krantasya kamina. Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad is commenting on the word kamina is used by the gopis here in this particular verse, which is simply a recapping their dialogue, the personal dialogue and conversations they had in the forest of Vrindavan 5,000 years ago when they came upon Krishna's footprints mixed with Radharani. And he's saying what they are thinking. But you have to understand that the gopis that he's paraphrasing here are not Radharani's group. They're not her gan. They're not her party. But they're saying, oh, well, how did he leave us? You know, he must have left with Radharani because he was lusty, not because of love. Because if he really, if it was because of love, he would have stayed with us. But he must be lusty, so he went with her. So they're criticizing. He would have accepted us instead of that cowherd girl, Radharani. So then it goes on. That's the end of his statement. These thoughts reveal the mood of the gopis who are the rivals of Srimati Radharani, as our BBG group was. Of course, the gopis who are her direct allies were jubilant, happy to see her good fortune. Acha prasuna vatraya priyarse priyasakita tapad tapada kramana ete pashyata paskale pade. Just see how in this place Krishna collected flowers for his beloved. Here he has left the impression of only the front part of his feet, but he was standing on his toes to reach the flowers. So, where is this pastime going on? Any idea? This is describing it's Yamuna Pulin. Pulin means the bank. Yamuna Pulina. Ami Yamuna Pulina. Means the bank of the Yamuna in Vrindavan at a place called Shringarbhat. Shringar means to decorate. We have Shringar Artik in the temple at 7:15. We see all this. In Shringarbhat, which is right near Radhadamodar Temple, it's also called Nityanandabhat, which was Nityanandabhat 500 years ago. So Krishna, when he was wandering there, he was wandering along the banks from Vamshivat, they were wandering along past Keshigat along the sandy banks of Yamuna, and then he started to see these footprints there. That's where it was, at Shringarbhat. He was reaching up, pulling flowers and pulling them out around the stairs. He tried here. When he reached up to pick the flowers, it left the impression of only the front part of his feet because he was standing on his toes to reach the flowers. You know, when he was standing on his toes. I just see how absorbed and how observant these critical gopis are. And look here, just her tippy toes are in the sand. That means he was standing here to get flowers for her. Look how she controlled him. Krisha prasadanam swatra kaminya kamina kritam tani chuda yata kantam vishtam nikadruvam. Certainly Krishna sat down here with his girlfriend to arrange her hair. Like Shingarbhat, he was standing there with Krishna's brushing her hair. The lusty boy, you know, in the back of that place. Yeah, boy inside, like Shingarbhat. That lusty boy must have made a crown for that lusty girl out of flowers he had collected. So making crowns out of flowers, and bracelets, and necklaces, and mala. This is one of the 64 arts. Chatu Shasti Kala. Chatu Shakti Kala, we were reading yesterday, right? Some of the arts. One of them was making crowns out of flowers, making dresses out of flowers, just like we have on Radhashtami or Janmashtami, we decorate Krishna and Radharani in the Pushpavesh, you know, flower outfit in the afternoon. Everyone comes, wow, Krishna has a beautiful, his whole dress and his whole dhoti is made out of roses, and his cheddar is made out of some other flowers. And during Chandan Yatra in Vrindavan in the summertime, to keep Krishna cool, and to go to different temples, especially Radharaman, they make a whole outfit out of Chandan. They make a whole tokens and a dress and a cheddar all out of sandalwood pulp. Chandan is fresh sandalwood pulp. And then they somehow they put it on some kind of paper or something. It's a whole outfit made of Chandan. Very, very beautiful. So Krishna, he mastered that art when he went to Gurukul, and now he's employing it. It's a practical examination. He learned from his guru how to make flower crowns so that later on he could serve Radharani, make a nice flower crown for her. He must have made a crown for that lusty girl out of flowers he had collected. Tani churiyata kantam upavishtam vihadivam. Purport. The acharyas explained that Krishna wanted to decorate Radharani's hair with forest flowers he had collected. Therefore, they sat down together facing the same direction, with Radharani between Krishna's knees, and he proceeded to arrange her hair with flowers and make a flower crown for her, coronating her as the goddess of the forest. Thus, the romantic young boy and girl played and joked together in Vrindavan. Rane taya chatmarata atmaramo piyakandita kaminam dashiyan dainyam chinam cheva duratmatim. Shukadeva continued, Lord Krishna enjoyed with that gopi, although he enjoys only within, being self-satisfied and complete in himself. Thus, by contrast, he showed the wretchedness of ordinary lusty men and hard-hearted women. So, here, Rene Kaya Chatmarata Atmaramo. We know in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya, he has some conversation with Prakashananda Saraswati. They discuss the Atmaram verse of the Bhagavatam. There's one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Atmarama Chamunio. It says that the munis, even the munis that are liberated souls that are self-satisfied, they take great pleasure in hearing the pastimes of Krishna, and hearing about Krishna's pastimes. It's not like, well, we've realized it all, we're completely shanti and happy and atmaram, we don't care to hear anything else. No, they're very, when they read about Krishna's pastimes, Damodar Leela, Ras Leela, all the Gocharan Leela, they find great satisfaction, great relish. They don't think it's the least bit mundane at all. And so they're known as Atmaramashtamunio. So when Lord Chaitanya discussed this verse, he discussed 64 meanings of the Atmaram verse. So here, Lord Krishna is being described as Atmaramo hi akanditaha. Akandita means unbroken, like we have Akanda Kirtan. Akanda Kirtan means complete. You know, akanda means complete, unbroken. So in our temple in Krishna Balaram Mandir, we have Akanda Kirtan, you know, the Indra's group. So they 24 hours a day, the Chobis Ganta Kirtan. For 24 hours is Akanda Kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So Krishna is described as Atmaramo Akanditaha. Means that he is completely self-satisfied. So that's what Shukadeva is speaking now. He said, Lord Krishna enjoyed with Radharani, with that gopi, although he enjoys only within himself. And Atmaram means, Rama means pleasure, he's pleased with his Atma. Within himself, his mind is very peaceful and happy, his body is peaceful and happy, his intelligence, his soul, his ego. He doesn't need anyone else for his happiness. But in the material world, every man needs a woman, every woman needs a man, every politician needs a following, every business factory man needs workers to exist. People need each other. I have phrases like that, oh, we need each other. And, you know, that gate should be closed. We need each other.
But for the spiritual personality, actually everyone needs Krishna. Everyone needs the service of the Lord. That's the real need, the greatest need. And when one is actually self-realized, he has no, there's no pushing. He has no pushing. Vatruvegam, Manasakrodavegam, Jivavegam, Udrapashtavegam. When we're incomplete, when we're dissatisfied, when we're incomplete means not whole, not full. When you're empty or half full, then you have to look outside to fill up. You have to fill up with other people or with food and so many things. So you're pushed. Your mind is pushing you because your mind is not satisfied. Your belly is pushing you because your belly is not satisfied. Your tongue is pushing you, your tongue is not satisfied. But for a self-realized soul, he is shanti. He's completely. That's why it says that bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakale ashanta. Krishna bhakta naishkama sakale ateva shanta. If the person has desires, material desires, he's always incomplete. Oh, I need this, I need that. I hear this expression. Oh, you have a job. Why are you working? Well, I need money. You know, my mother, my parents don't give me any money. Let me live at home, but I need money so I have a job. So people, they need things. They're in need. They're in want. So this is bhukti. Bhukti means sense gratification. Bhukti kami. They want things. They want enjoyment. And then siddhi kami, yogis, jnanis. They want ashta siddhis. They want mystic powers. Anima siddhi, lagima siddhi, prakti siddhi. So many siddhis are there. They want power. But then some people, mukti, they want liberation. They want to get out of this world. Because they're not happy in this world. You know, some people say, oh, this world's terrible. Let me just be a Buddhist. Let me be a nihilist. You know, just annihilate my existence. Buddhism, or Voidism, or Mayavad philosophy. But they want to get out of this world. Let me go to Brahman. Let me go to Swarga. Swarga Loka, mukti, liberation. Because they're not satisfied. They're also not satisfied. That's why it says, bhukti, kami, bhukti kami, siddhi kami, mukti kami. They're not satisfied. Sakale ashanta. They're all not peaceful. When one is not satisfied, he's not peaceful. When one is not full, he's not peaceful. When one is not happy, he's not peaceful. But the Krishna bhakta naishkama ata eva shanta. The Krishna bhakta, the devotee of Krishna, he is very peaceful.